Okay, so by special request, you have a sheet? You want a sheet?
We'll share.
By special request, we're going to start with a little discussion of Rav Melamed's explanation for why specifically the reason for the Minhagei Avilut, based on his understanding of the death of the students of Rabbi Akiva, okay? So, let's read it, okay? Everybody have that page? It says, Hata'am, Ta'am Minhagei Avilut. So he says, "Hayamim shebein Chag HaPesach leChag HaShavuot, hem yamim sheish behem tzar, their days of suffering, of pain, ho'il umetu behem esrim v'arba, elef talmidei Rabbi Akiva." Since 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva died during this time. "V'fichach nohagim b'yamim elu miktzat minhagei Avilut." Therefore, there are a few forms of mourning which we practice during this time. "Shelo laset isha," not to get married, "shelo listaper," "v'chein ein orchim b'hem rikudim u'mecholah shel reshut." And we don't have dancing and things like that that are not for a specific mitzvah. "V'v'neshin asuk v'pratei minhagei Avilut, ra'ui l'harchiv me'at b'nyan ha'merkazi." We should elaborate a little bit on the central idea. "V'usibat motam shel talmidei Rabbi Akiva," the reason for the death of the students of Rabbi Akiva. "Muvah b'talmud m'sechet Yevamot, amru." The Gemara in m'sechet Yevamot says the following. Amru, they said, "Shneim asar elef zugim shel talmidim." There are 12,000 pairs of students, right? 12,000 pairs of students that Rabbi Akiva had. Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of students. Okay?
12,000 pairs? A pair of 12,000 each.
No, 12,000 pairs of students. I mean, 24,000. I mean, 12,000 times two. Right? Okay. Okay, so he says, "V'chulan meitu b'perek echad." They all died during one time period. Because they didn't give a proper amount of respect to each other. That's why I always assumed, that's why it says 12,000 pairs. Because the chisaron, their lacking, was within their pairs, meaning within how they interacted with each other. So it doesn't say 24,000 students, it says 12,000 pairs, because the pairs were problematic within each other. They didn't treat each other respectfully. The Talmidei Chachamim didn't treat each other respectfully. Okay? So, Tana, kula metu in Pesach v'Atzer. So there's a braita that says they all died between Pesach and Shavuot. Kula metu b'mita ra'ah. And they all died a very horrible death. "V'ayah ha'olam shamem, ashuva Rabbi Akiva, etzel rabotino shebedarom, ve'ushana'a lahem." So the world was empty until Rabbi Akiva came to our rabbis who were in the south, and he taught them, meaning these are the five new students, the five new students that Rabbi Akiva used to restart the Torah tradition. "Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, v'hem hem hamidu Torah." Okay, so after the 24,000 students died, Rabbi Akiva didn't give up hope. He didn't become despondent. He didn't become depressed. Maybe he was upset, but he didn't stop teaching students. Rather, he found new students. And that's what one of the explanations that I believe the Pri Chadash asks the famous question, why are we so happy on Lag BaOmer? What's the big simcha of Lag BaOmer? 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva died. Do you know why they stopped dying on that day? Because there are no more, right? Rabbi Chadash says, there are no more students. All 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva died. So what's the big simcha of Lag BaOmer? We have parties and we have hilulas and we dance and we sing, whatever.
Do we know exactly how they died?
The Gemara says 12,000 pairs of students. That's what the Gemara says. Oh, how they died. Oh, that's what we're going to discuss. Okay. So 12,000. So what are we so happy about? So the Pri Chadash says that the simcha is the fact that Rabbi Akiva didn't give up hope. Rather, he went and he established new students. And from those five students was the basis for all the Torah that was spread afterwards. And the Torah that we have till today is because of those five students of Rabbi Akiva who he was able to teach, and they continued the tradition of the Torah. Okay. So, Od Mishupar B'Midrash, Amar Rabbi Akiva Tamidav HaChadashim, Banai HaRishunim Lometu Ela Shaitai Neim Tzara Ilu Va'ilu. So why did the first ones die? Because their eyes, literally their eyes were narrow, meaning they were a little bit stingy with each other. Tnu da'atchem shelo ta'asu kemazim. Be careful so you don't do the way they did. Okay? Make sure that you don't fall into the same trap that my original 24,000 students fell into. Okay, so let's just do the rest of the page quickly, and then we'll do the footnote, because the footnote's the main event, okay? So he says, Mini az yamim elu shal sfirat ha'omer hem yamim shenogim ha'miksat min ha'gei avilut. So from that time, so they became days of mourning, a little bit of mourning. Mushalim l'taken v'ayim et ha'yachasim shebein adam l'chaveiro. So we try to specifically emphasize and work on our relationships interpersonally, right? We work on our character traits and our interpersonal relationships. Specifically, in particular, between those who study Torah, like all the people in this room, or people who study Torah, specifically the Talmidim who are studying Torah, they have to be particularly careful to improve their relationships with each other, their understanding for each other, and their respect for each other. Okay, so now let's apply this a little more. Since it's a, it wasn't a takana of chachamim, it's just a custom. Okay, so we know there are different customs as to how we calculate these time, this times between Pesach and Atzeret, what we do, what we don't do, different customs. Okay, you want sharing with or you say okay, let's share over there. Okay, well, thank you, Josh. Okay. So then he just points out something very interesting historically, that about 1,000 years later, I want to read it inside, in the last paragraph is about 1,000 years later, so in Europe, the Crusades, the very famous Crusades, in which thousands, if not more, of Jews in the Ashkenazic lands were killed, the Crusades took place specifically in the time of Sfirat HaOmer. And therefore, there were some extra things that I think, or at least they became more serious, they became accepted more seriously after the Crusades took place during this time. The Crusaders waited for the spring until they couldn't go in the winter because the roads were all muddy and the roads were all, and it was slushy and they couldn't really travel so well. So they waited for the spring until everything was dry and everything was put back together. And that's when they chose to go out and to, Rahman al-Itzlan, go on their Crusades, and they killed many, many Jews along the way. And then 500 years later, the very famous Chmelminsky massacres took place about 500 years later. Also, they're called Gzerot Tach V'Tat, specifically in this time of the year as well. So many, many difficult things happened to the Jewish people in this time of the year. Actually, there's a tefillah that the Ashkenazim say before Musaf called Av HaRachamim. I'm not sure anybody's heard of it, but it's a tefillah to Hashem that they specifically don't say on days that we don't say tachanun, they don't say avarachamim, and also any Shabbat mevarchim, any Shabbat that they announce Rosh Chodesh, they also don't say this tefillah of avarachamim. What's interesting is that during Sfirat HaOmer, even if it's Shabbat mevarchim, they still say avarachamim, because this is such a difficult time for the Jewish people, even though they don't normally say this tefillah, but since it's such a difficult time, and the Crusades took place, and so many Jews were killed during this time, they still say the tefillah of Av HaRachamim. Yeah?
So just to clarify, the 24,000, they all died in one 33-day period?
Okay. Unclear. I think somebody, I was in this class or another class, somebody told me that it happened over the course of many years, during this 33-day period. It could be, or it could be that it happened in 1 year. It probably will depend on which explanation you adopt for how they died.
Why does it ever pass up to Atzeret if it stopped on the 33rd?
It's a good question. I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, it's not so clear that it happened on the 33rd. I mean, there are those that say that it happened on 33 days between Pesach and Atzeret. So if you exclude like the rest of Chodesh Nisan and Rosh Chodesh and Lag BaOmer, you end up with 33 days also that the students, and maybe also like the few of the days before.
So why do we celebrate Lag BaOmer?
So our custom is, there is another source in Chazal, he doesn't quote it here, that does imply that it wasn't the entire 49-day period. It sort of cuts it in half somewhere. So then we come out somehow to 33 days. So then we have the first 33, some Ashkenazim have the second 33, starting from Rosh Chodesh until the 3 days before Shavuot. Some people have, I told you, like those like scattered 33 days. Right. There are different ways to calculate the 33 days. Okay. Anyway, the last line, he says, that in Ashkenaz and Ashkenazic lands, they tend to be more strict on these minhagei avilut, because during this time of the year, they suffered specifically the Crusades and the Chmelnytsky massacres. Certain things happened to the Jewish people specifically during this time. Okay, let's get to the note. Okay, that's what we're here for. Okay, that's why we brought down this ma'amar, because our topic for today is something different. Okay? So let's see the footnote here. B'gemara katuv. So what was the death? As Daniel asked very astutely. What was the death? So b'gemara katuv, shamita kasha shemetu ba hi askara. it was some sort of physical illness, maybe some sort of has to do with like a very, very heavy fever, a very, very high fever. I think it's some sort of illness
it's
that
like
they died from.
Kind of death, huh?
Yeah, it's a very, very painful and very, very difficult death. Correct. And that's what the Gemara said. The Gemara said mita ra'a, right? So it fits with the language of the Gemara. There's mita ra'a. So the Gemara says that it was askara. Maybe I don't know, maybe that's how they interpret the Gemara. Maybe the Gemara separately says it was askara. I'm not sure. Uvi Geret Rav Shira Gaon katav shemetu bigzirat shemad. They died in a time of religious oppression. If somehow through the time of religious oppression, presumably they were killed by the enemies of the Jewish people at a time of religious oppression. So it wasn't an illness, but it was murder through the hands of other people. Okay, now he's going to say a very interesting sort of elaboration on this idea. Kemshech lazeh shemati pirush me'anyen. By the way, in the Otsar HaGeonim, I don't know if we have it here, but in Otsar HaGeonim, on that Gemara, Masechet Yevamot, it brings this opinion also, that they died. It either says Gzirat HaShemad, or it says something more explicitly, like what Rav Melamed is about to say. When Rabbi Chaim came to YU for Shabbat 2 years ago, he mentioned this on Friday night. He spoke about this on Friday night from the Otsar HaGeonim. Okay? So anyways, so he said a very interesting interpretation. Shemetu ba'et mered bar kochba. We know that about, I think approximately 60 years, approximately, after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, so there were still Jews living in the land of Israel. The land wasn't empty. And a Jewish leader by the name of Bar Kokhba led a revolution in order to try to sort of rid themselves of the Roman rule, which had come after the, bless you, had come after the destruction of Second Beit HaMikdash. So, and we know that one of Bar Kokhba's greatest supporters was Rabbi Akiva. Basically, some people thought maybe this is the end. The second Galut, just like the first Galut, was only 70 years. Maybe the second Galut also won't be that long, and we'll be able to overcome the Roman rule, be able to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. And Rabbi Akiva was one of the biggest supporters of Bar Kokhba. Anyways, so this interpretation says that the students of Rabbi Akiva died in the rebellion of Bar Kokhba. Okay, v'hayu ben tamidav ke'edu shiyatzu lehilachem b'Romaim. So some of his students, they actually went out to physically fight against the Romans, some of Rabbi Akiva's students. But there were also those who decided to stay in the Beit HaMidrash and to continue learning. He says the soldiers and the students who stayed in the yeshiva, they would make fun of each other. They would be disrespectful to each other. They'd say, what do you think you're doing? I'm better than my friends. The guys who were in the yeshiva would say, listen, those guys, they're not talmidei chachamim, they're not religious, they go out to the army, they should stay in yeshiva and learn. And the chayalim said, look at those people in yeshiva, they don't take part in the war effort, they don't contribute anything to the war, they're sitting and learning Torah, and they think that's all they have to do. Shema she'ani oseh chashuv mo'il. Each one said that what I'm doing, that's what's important. That's what helps. What my friend is doing, that doesn't help at all. And they all died during this time period because of the sinat chinam, right? The Gemara says that they didn't give honor one to the other. They didn't give respect one to the other. So what was that issue? What was the lack of respect? So Rav Melamed suggests that the lack of respect was a lack of respect in each one's way of serving Hashem. Each group of the students of Rabbi Akiva had their own way they decided to serve Hashem, and they didn't respect the decisions that the other ones made.
The example you're giving is also a very modern issue.
Yes. It's a very modern issue, exactly. That's why Merlavin is bringing it. It's 1,000% a very modern issue, right?
And the soldiers in the army and then
right, exactly. So he says that everybody has to respect each other, right? They're different derachim serving Hashem. They're different ways. We need people studying yeshiva. We need people in the army. We need people doing both. And each one has to respect the decisions that the other one makes. V'achen ha-tarich eno mikri. I love this point. He says, the date is not by accident, it's not by chance. Huben Chaga Pesach HaMevateh HaLumiut Shel Yisrael HaYisraelit Leben Chaga Shavuot HaMevateh HaTorah Ruchanit. Right? So he says that the two bookends of Sfirat HaOmer, Pesach and Shavuot, each one is an expression of a different, very, very important facet of what it means to be part of the Jewish people. A very important piece of what it means. Pesach is the nationality. It's our nation. We're a country. We're an Am. We came out together. And part of that also means we have an army. We defend ourselves. We want independence. We want to have our own state. We want to have our own land, right? Very appropriate for Yom HaAtzmaut also coming up this week. But there's also the Ruchniyut. Shavuot represents the spirituality. Shavuot is Kabbalat HaTorah. We can't have one without the other. We can't have an Am without the Torah. We can't have the Torah without an Am. We can't be a nation without the Torah. We can't have a Torah without a nation. We need both together. So the time of Sefirat HaOmer is that bridge between the nationality, the nationhood, and the religious, the spirituality of the Jewish people. And therefore, specifically at this time, we recognize and we note this struggle, this balance, and the necessity to respect the perspectives of each other, specifically during this time. V'otam tamidim shelo kibdu ze et ze, and the students who didn't respect each other, hifridu v'chilku ben chag ha-pesach l'chag ha-shavuot. That's when they separated. That's when they went their different ways. Bin halumiyut la-torah. V'alkin kulam mitu b'tkufa azu. And that's why they all died during this time period. Okay? V'yish gorsim b'gespereshit rabba, shaita enehem tzara b'torah elu b'elu. Not Haya enehem tzara. Not that their eyes were stingy with each other's, but their eyes were stingy in the Torah. What does that mean? Ufize ikara tikkun tzarech liyot mechuvan kidei laharbot v'chavod ben lomdei haTorah mehachugim hashonim. So he says that what it means that they're tzarot b'Torah means they didn't respect each other's approach to the Torah. And therefore, specifically at this time, we have to be extra careful. Well, the extra thing we have to work on is the way that the different lomdei Torah, the way that the different people who study Torah relate to each other in this time. Okay? That's what he says. Okay? So that's sort of Melamed's beautiful explanation for how did the students die and how it connects specifically to this time of the year.
So now what's the answer to the question why there's many times in history that people die?
Yes.
Right? So now people come and ask, why for this one we have some, you know, Hagimah Avelud and we do certain things, but in the other times, we don't do anything.
Right, it's a good question.
The Holocaust, they died, what do we do? We don't... Okay, now they have Yom whatever, Yom HaShoah. Okay,
right.
One day.
Right.
You know, why... What's so significant about this?
Okay, so there are a couple of things. First of all, Rabbi Akiva was probably the main teacher of... It seems to be he was the main teacher of Torah at that time. So therefore, there was a huge amount of loss to the Jewish tradition in the death of the 24,000 students. I mean, we have 5 students of Rabbi Akiva, and so much of the Torah that we have, so much knowledge and wisdom comes from those 5 students. But imagine what the 24,000 students were and how much we lost in that time as well. That's part of it. It's an interesting question why we never, but I mean, aside from the Holocaust, which is an obvious contrast, an obvious sort of supplement to this, there weren't really, I don't know if there were that many other situations where so many people, especially so many people who are so connected to the Mesorah of Torah, all died at one point in time. So that probably has a lot to do with why the mourning took place specifically in this time.
Rabbi Chaim told me last night, I was asking him some questions, he told me last night, he's like, it's not, the main reason why we're doing it is not for the mourning. It's like, we're not in mourning. Because I asked, it's controversial, like, I don't know, whatever. I asked if let's say your dad comes and tells you to shave, what should you do?
So what he said.
You know? So he said, your dad's a tzaddik, he doesn't want you to shave, don't shave. That's how he answered me.
He wants you to shave, so
no,
shave.
No.
Your dad does not want you to shave.
Your dad's a tzaddik, so don't worry. He's not gonna bother you.
Okay.
So I said, okay, what about somebody else? He does, he didn't give me an answer. Whatever. That aside, then he said, so I said, okay, so what's the whole point? He said, the point isn't to shave or not to shave. Shulchan Aruch says, don't do it, so try not to do it. Fine. Yeah. But he said, the main point is, we're doing these things as simani, to remind us that what happens if we don't keep the Torah? What happens if we make these mistakes?
Of not being noheg kavod.
Not having kavod between each other. This is exactly it. It's a sign. Why? I see everybody now doesn't shave. I see everybody is doing these things. Why? It's a sign. This is a sign we should remember. You have to act with kavod with each other. That's one of the point what the this time of year around is for that. It's a sign to remember and realize, okay, this, you know, this is what happened, that they didn't act with kavod to each other, and they were such great people, and still they all died. That, you know, remember and act with kavod to one another.
Very nice. Just like you're saying. Very good. Thank you. I mean, I think even if you say it's avilut, it's still not a contradiction, meaning the avilut is there to remind, to make you think of something.
Okay, so then my dad always tells me, okay, now you're making it equal between what you're doing now for this and what you do after a parent passes away. For the same thing, you're leaving a beard for 30 days.
Right.
So we always have back and forth. So he told me, go ask Rabbi Chaim. So I asked Rabbi Chaim, and Rabbi Chaim told me that. But
okay, very good. So there's a very important lesson to be learned. We have to focus not just on the fact that they died, but what we have to learn from the fact that they died. The lesson that we learn, that we have to really make sure that we increase our kavod zavazah, and we increase our respect towards each other. And okay, very good. Thank you very much. So we have to be careful when we see other people who are serving Torah in ways that are different than the way we serve Torah, follow the Torah in different ways, keep the Torah in different ways, that we're respectful for everybody who keeps the Torah in their own independent way. Okay, very good. Thank you. Okay, so let's move on to
accepting Reform Jews and all
possible. No, but they're not keeping it. They're not following the Torah. They're doing their own thing. We have a tradition as to how the Torah is. You know, that there's certain parameters. We have boundaries, and they went past the boundaries. So unfortunately, they're outside.
A lot of the people who are considered Orthodox would say that the other Orthodox Jews are not.
I was thinking about that too. Good. Very good.
You're getting a little.
It's a very fair question. No, you're saying that's why people are
the parameters.
Right. What are the parameters, right? Okay. Good. It's a good question. I think it's safe to say the Reform's not in the parameters. Who else?
We're not.
Okay. Very good. Not so good, but they would say such a thing, but that has to be determined. Okay, fine. Very good. So let's turn to the other page that starts with Aleph.